Blog Talk Radio. One child at a time, one small question answered, just one story read, one promise kept. This is all it takes to nurture, change tomorrow, touch the future. We can turn the world around, one child. One hand held so tight, one dream lifted higher. One shoulder strong to lean upon. One person makes the difference. One heart that truly listens. We can turn the world around, one child. We can turn the world around, one child.
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll recommend that everyone grab your study tools, your iPads, your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your Bibles, the concordance, all those things that you would need for a good study. It's been a while, and I'm glad the Father has given me an opportunity to come before you on this day and speak about something that can be just that simple. As always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer, but before I do that, if you can hear me clearly, just someone send me a shout-out, thumbs up, let me know that they can hear me. We're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather today, this moment, to give you praise and give you honor. As the Sabbath approaches, we thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you have given us throughout the course of the week. And we thank you for giving us an opportunity to allow the light of Yahushua that dwells in each and every one of us that are listening today to shine forth throughout the course of this week, allowing those that are in darkness an opportunity to see the light of truth through us. Father, we ask of thee to continue to build our spirits up in your word. Continue to build us up in your truth, so that we can be a light to those that are in our home and outside of our homes, and bringing them closer to you. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect those who are in need of protecting, heal those that are in need of healing, and strengthening those who are weak at this moment. Father, we thank thee once again for choosing us to walk in your ways and after thy word. We thank you in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Shalom once again, family. This particular lesson that we're going to go through tonight is called, What Am I Teaching? And this particular teaching was inspired by a three-year-old. And it was very interesting. And, you know, I went to the barbershop and, you know, my barber, he talks about his son and, you know, I asked about his son and things of that nature. So, all you know, so this particular day when I go in there, I meet his son. And throughout the course, you know, me being in there, his son asked him, could he get something to drink? And he obliged his son and told him, sure. Granted, this his son is about 3 years old. So his son went, got something to drink. And when he came out, he had had two bottles of water. And he gave me a bottle of water. Granted, it was not just me in the barbershop. It was some other people in the barbershop. But he gave me a bottle of water. And it shocked me because I was, you know, wondering. You know, I was thankful that he gave me a bottle of water because, I was thirsty. And but it was just shocking that the little man had went and got a bottle of water for himself and got me a bottle of water. And, you know, after that I was, you know, I was like, wow, this is nice. You know, and then after that I thanked his father. You know, I said, thank you for, you know, for teaching your son, you know, how to be hospitable. And, you know, and that's where this lesson is coming from. You know, because we as believers, or we as Israelites, that's one of the things that we're told in the scriptures, is that we're supposed to teach our children the ways of the Most High. And as we look at, you know, we look out into the world today, we see that the youth are not being taught certain things in the home. As a result, we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of violence. We have a lot of disrespect. We have a lot, you know, we have a lot, wickedness in this world. And some of these things start in the home because certain things are not being taught in the home. Discipline is not being given. Statutes and judgments are not being given. Consequences are not being given. Not saying that, you know, we have to, you know, beat and bang on our children, but, you know, one of the things that the scriptures say, it says, you know, Yah chastises those he loves. And then when we look up the word chastise, it means train, discipline. So, you know, in the efforts of disciplining a child, you're training them how they should go and giving them good character. And in this day and time, you know, a lot of things are not being taught to children. As a result, they are becoming adults who don't know anything to teach their children. So we have this vicious cycle of people not knowing what to do when the scriptures clearly tells us what to do. And that thing that we're supposed to teach is the word of Yah to our children. And we also have to realize that when we sit down and we talk to our children, because that's what the scriptures say, we sit down and we talk to them, but our children are also learning from the activities and the things that we do. They pick those things up quicker than the things that we tell them. That's one of the reasons why, as you know, as we go through the scriptures, you know, we sometimes say, why are we going over that again? Why are we going over that again? And we learned that it's through repetition, we begin to learn, and those things become a part of us. But if things are not being told, but things are being done, what's being repeated? The action. So because this action is constantly being done, we learn from those actions. Even we as adults learn from other people's actions over and over and over again. They don't necessarily have to tell us anything. We can learn from them and what they're doing. So that's, you know, the nature of this particular teaching in regards to, you know, teaching our children. You know, one of the things that, you know, throughout the, you know, we'd probably go across a scripture that talks about this, but it talks about how, you know, Israel was supposed to remember the things of old, the things of, you know, the happenings that happened during the forefathers' times, and they passed it down to their children. But what are we passing down to our children? Are we glorifying the Most High and the things that He has done in our life to our children and letting them know that it was through Yahweh's hands that we were able to get this brand new car? Is it through Yahweh's hands that we were able to have the strength and the fortitude and the knowledge to get this house? Are we giving Him the credit that He deserves as our children are raised up in our homes? Are we doing that? Or are we taking credit for things that He is doing? And our children are seeing that it is by my hand that I can accomplish these things. When it's not by our hand, it's by the hand of the Father who's leading and guiding us in the way so that we can get those things that He wants us to have. But are we telling our children, or are we showing our children that it's through Yah in His word that we are accomplishing the things that we're doing? So now we're going to get into a few scriptures. We're going to start off in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And we parried this one before. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will depart from it. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I apologize for that. I'm going to read it again. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this is telling us, you know, as we train in our child, as he grows up, you know, the older he gets, he will understand and know these things, and he will not depart from it. Yeah. Life happens. You go through ups and downs, but the life happens as you being trained or utilizing the things that you've been trained in to stand firm in the truth of what you've been taught. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. And it reads, for I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Yahweh, to do righteous righteousness, and justice to the end that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So this is talking about Abraham and the promise that the Most High gave him. And he gave him this because he knew that he would teach his children the ways of Yahweh. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. And it reads, Yahweh said to Abraham, as for you, you will keep my command, my covenant, you and your seed after you, throughout their generations. So right here, the Most High is letting Abraham know that his family is going to be keeping his covenant from generation to generation. Why? Because he knows that Abraham is going to pass down to his sons the ways of Yahweh. He's going to train his children in the ways of Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. And it reads, it should happen that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So we have to understand, and this is going back to Abraham. See, Abraham spoke to his children in the name of Yahweh. So his children knew who Yahweh was or who Yahweh is. And so when a person is speaking in the name of Yahweh, speaking in the words of Yahweh and doing the things of Yahweh, what are they doing? They are manifesting Yahweh in the present. But those who do not do these things, they are not manifesting Yahweh at all. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. And it reads, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to them as Yahweh, our mighty one, who, whenever we call him, what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances as righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and to your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your children and your children's children. See, this is where I was speaking about earlier. See, the things that we've gone through, we have to make them known to our children. And our children will let their children know the struggles that we went through. Understanding that when they go through those struggles, they didn't go through those struggles are not isolated to them particularly. Because then they can relate to, yes, my mother went through that. My father went through that. My uncle went through that. My mother's friend went through that, who is an Israelite also. My father's friend went through that, who is an Israelite also. The family of Israel go through similar things because life happens. But these are the examples that we have to pass on to our generations so that they too can make a solid decision on what they choose to do in that particular situation. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, and it reads, you shall teach them, your children, talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And what this is talking about, this is talking about the Torah. This is talking about those commandments. Talking about those ordinances, those statutes, those things that help cleanse a person of the iniquities that dwell within them. See, if we're constantly talking about those laws, statutes, and judgments and trying to do them, and also sharing these things with our children, these things will resonate in their mind and constantly give them an opportunity to regurgitate these things. And then the laws and statutes will be a part of them, so that they too, when they become an adult, will pass these things on to their children. Psalm 77. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. And it reads, I will remember Yah's deeds, for I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and consider your doings. See, when we meditate on Yah's word, what are we meditating on? We're meditating on his interaction with humanity throughout the generations, the good, the bad, and the in-between. But in our time, we're having an opportunity to meditate on Yahweh Elohim interaction with humanity and Yahushua's interactions with humanity. We're having an opportunity to understand Yah's word and its interaction with humanity when we meditate on the word of Yah. Psalm 78, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. And it reads, hear my teaching, my people. Turn your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Telling to the generations to come, generations to come, the praises of Yahweh and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a teaching in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know, even the children who shall be born, who should arise and tell their children, that they might set their hope in Yah, and not forget the works of Yahweh, but keep his commandments. And the might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not make their hearts loyal, whose spirit was not steadfast in Yah. See, this is just another testimony in the word saying how we need to explain to our children the wonders of Yah in our life, the wonders of his word in our life, so that they too can recognize the wonders of Yah in their life and see the wondrous things that he is doing for them also. See, because we understand that the word is for each and every individual in the world. And our children are their own separate individuals. And they too will get to a point where they have to make a decision on whether or not they wish to serve Yahweh or not. But we have to give them the tools that is necessary for them to make a solid decision. Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And it reads, Yahushua spoke all these things in parables to the multitude, and without a parable, he didn't speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. So this is letting us know that even Yahushua, when he was here on the earth, he spoke to them, he spoke to the people in parables that were already being spoken of. He was telling them of things that had already happened. And if they, too, were being led and guided by the Spirit of Yahweh, they would understand what he was saying because they would have understood what their parents had told them beforehand. So that's the same thing with us now. When we tell our children and explain things to our children, that when they become older and someone is speaking in regards to the word of Yah, then they too can understand, because they have been taught those things of the word of Yah. Psalms 103, verse 17 to 19. And it reads, "But Yahweh's love, loving kindness, is from everlasting to everlasting, with those who fear him, his righteousness, to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, to those who remember to obey his precepts. Yahweh has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all." See, it was a scripture that was read, I believe, last Sabbath. I believe it was read last Sabbath. And it was, it stood out to me. And it was talking about how Yahushua had given power to the disciples, and he had also given power to the 70. And one of the men that he had given power to was saying how, yes, we got rid of demons, and they was really happy and, glad that they did this. And Yahushua brought to their mind saying how, we're going to save them. Like, okay, yeah, but you should be glad that your name is written in heaven. And that kind of stuck out to me, to understand that the things that we're doing and standing firm on his law, statutes, and judgment, because the word of Yah is our Father. And our Father is teaching us different things throughout the scriptures. And when he gives us the knowledge of his word and the power of his word, and we are fulfilling those things of the word and being righteous and being kind, fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit, wearing that full armor, and doing and being obedient to his word, then that means that our name is written in heaven. And that's the greater thing, to be known that you're being acknowledged in heaven. It's not of men that we want our glory, but it's being acknowledged by the Father in the heaven. And this is one of the things that we want to establish with our children, that if you're obedient to Yah's word, then your name too can be written in heaven by fearing him and being obedient to his law, statutes, and judgments. But these things must be taught to our children. Just as they're being taught to us, we have to teach them to our children so that our children can teach them to their children, so that we are raising a generation who understands and know who Yah is, and understand who Yahweh Elohim is, and understand who Yahushua is. See, because we live in a world where they have so many deities out there, but we know that there is no other deity other than Yah. We know that. So let us not be dismayed by that. And we have to teach our children not to be dismayed by that. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 to 4, and it reads, "Children, obey your parents in Yah, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them in discipline and instruction of Yah." See, one of the things that we have to get back to is nurturing our children, giving them the kindness that they need. And that kindness that we've given them is that knowledge of that word of Yah, giving them the instructions of that word of Yah, correcting them with the word of Yah, so that they too can feel and understand that they are loved by Yah and that they're being taken care of by Yah through us as being their parents or their guardian. Psalms 90, verse 16 and 17. And it reads, "Let your work appear to your servants, your glory to their children. Let the favor of Yahweh, your Elohim, be on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. See, I think I spoke about this earlier. See, our hands are not being guided by our desires within us, but they're being guided by the word of Yah. And I have somewhat of a testimony. Like today was a really, really lazy day for me. And you know, today was my, you know, my first teaching in a number of weeks. And, you know, it was a really, really trying week for me. And I said, I'm going to appreciate the Sabbath today. You know, and I said I was going to lay in the bed. And I laid in the bed till about, maybe about 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. It was something. It was really late. I stayed in the bed. And, I was saying to myself, maybe I should postpone today's teaching. I said, I'm tired. I want to lay around. I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. I want to enjoy the Sabbath. And initially, I was going to do something on rest, and I was going to promote sleeping because that's how I was feeling today. I just wanted to sleep. And then, like I said, I was going to ultimately try to see if I can start next week versus this week. And then, you know, scriptures came to my mind how, you know, Messiah, when he had to lay his life down, and he was saying, you know, let thy will be done. And I realized that, you know, my father, Yahushua, he put his thoughts to the side and did the will of his father. So I had to do the same thing. And I realized, you know, what the scriptures teach, hey, you got to keep them going. You got to keep it going, you know, because it's not about my glory. It's about the glory of the Father. I mean, we got to put our stuff to the side sometimes. Even if we want to do it, we still have to do the will of the Father, despite what we want to do. And that's where I'm at, right, you know, and that's how I'm connecting with this particular scripture right here, is that it wasn't my hands that got me up this morning. It wasn't my will that got me up this morning. But it was the will of the Father that got me up. So it was my will to do his will, and that's to bring you this teaching this evening. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. And it reads, "For I will proclaim the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our mighty one, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A mighty one of the faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not his children. It is their blemish. They are a perverse and crooked generation." From here, we're going to go to, I'm going to stop here for a minute. Because I have in this particular scripture, verse 3, I have the word, the rock, highlighted. And, you know, when I read that, the first thing came to my mind was Yahushua as being that rock in which we're supposed to build our foundation on, and understanding that it is through him that all things are possible in our life. And if we walk in his footsteps and walk after his, you know, after him, then we can also be just. We can also be right. But it's not through our strength that we become these things, but it's through his strength. And from here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And this is just building on in the previous scripture, the term rock. And it reads, "Now when Yahushua came into the part of Prisia Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I am?'" No, "Who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptizer, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living Mighty One." Yahushua answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And so in this one I have, you know, the term "this rock" highlighted, comparing it to, you know, to the rock that was mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. And we understand that Yahushua is talking about that he is that rock that he's building this church on, or building this building on. And what is this building being made of? As we've learned years ago, of lively stones, of those who believe in him, believe in the law, statutes, and judgment, and have the testimony of Yahushua. These are those rocks that are making up this building. And because we believe in Yahushua and we have the testimony of Yahushua and keep the law, statutes, and judgment, we are those rocks that are being put together to create this building of lively stones. But as we go in our day-to-day life, going through our ups and downs and our life happenings, these things are solidifying us as being those rocks, and also helping us to get into our right place within that building, within that structure, allowing Yahushua to chisel away, smoothing out those edges that need to be smoothing out, and those edges that need to be chipped off, so that we can be in that building, be a part of that building that he is creating. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, and it reads, "Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down and the floods came and the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Understanding that we are on that solid rock, we are able to withstand the storms that come. Why? Because we're standing on the rock of Yahushua. And we understand, as we read through some of the other and other areas of the scriptures, that he stopped the rain. He stopped the wind. He has power over those things. But he also, when we utilize these particular analogies, they're talking about the different trials and tribulations that we go through in life as we walk with Yahushua. But because we're standing on him, we will withstand those trials and tribulations. But when we don't stand with him, we will fall. Just like in this parable that we're reading, that house that's on sand. And if you ever stood along the beach on the waters and stood in sand, and as water comes up and come past your feet, what happens? You begin to sink. You begin to sink. You begin to sink. Why? Because sand is not a solid foundation. So let's be remember, let's continue to stand on the rock of Yahushua. Let's continue to build upon Yahushua. As it talks about in the scriptures, that the rock that the builders rejected. See, some of our forefathers, they rejected Yahushua. So they did not build their understanding of the scriptures on him. They built their understanding on themselves. And because of that, many have fallen. Many have fallen. There's a scripture that talks about when he comes and people are going to be coming up to him and saying, haven't we done wonderful works in your name? And he says, depart from me, ye doers of iniquity, for I never knew you. See, because these people have come to him without his character. They came to him with the characters of men and how they perceive his character to be, and not as it is based on the scriptures. Because the scriptures tell you who he is and what his character is. And he tells us to be obedient to him, obedience to the word. And if we're obedient to the word, then we're going to be obedient to him. Because as many times in the scripture, he tells the people, you and your fathers did not know who I am. Did not teach who I am. That's why you can't recognize who I am right now, because they never knew who I was. And I was right there in their face. But they was trying to interpret it for themselves and not being led by the Spirit of the Word. So as we travel day to day, let us not get caught up in our own understandings of Yah's word. Let's let Yah's word tell us what he wants us to know. Let that spirit of Yahushua that dwells in you open up his word to you. Let us be those vessels willing to accept our task at hand. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And it reads, put away therefore all wickedness, all deceit, hypocrisy, envies, and all evil speech. As newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that Elohim is gracious. Coming to him, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yah, precious. You also, as a lively stone, are built upon as a spiritual house, to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to Yah through Yahushua. If that's what we are, then this is the thing that we need to be teaching to our children, that they are lively stones in the building of Yah. Innocence that we once had in the word of Yah. Cleaving to that word, being nurtured by that word, so that we too can nurture our children in that word, and they can nurture their children in that word from the innocence of their belief in Yahushua, in their belief in the word of Yah, getting rid of their belief in themselves, getting rid of the belief in their opinion, and the opinions of other men. Let us stick to the truth of Yah's word. Let us grow in Yah's word. So from here, these are just different, you know, scriptures the Father led me to in regards to us teaching our children and teaching our children of how we used to be and how we need to get back to that innocence of learning the word and trusting in the word. Because the more we trust in the word, the stronger we get in the word. As we're reading in the in Luke, or you know, as we've been reading lately in our Torah portions, you know, when Yahushua was dwelling with his taught ones, he kept saying to them how they didn't have any faith. They didn't have any faith. They didn't have any faith. And see, his taught ones were around him, and they seen the examples that he was showing. But yet they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. But we have to build our faith on what we read and understand about him and his word. That's how we build our faith in him and our application of his word in our day-to-day life. May we continue to build our faith in the word of Yah so that we can continue to be an example to our children and our children's children, so that they too can look to us as a good example of how to be like Yahushua. Like I said, I'm going to go through a few examples throughout the scriptures where, you know, children listened to their parents. Their parents gave them ways, and the children listened to them. And it was counted to them as a good deed. So the first example the Father put on me was the Rechabites. And we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 35. I'm going to read verses 5 to 11. And it reads, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will not drink no wine. For Yonadad, the son of Rechabiah, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land in which you live. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadad, the son of Rechab, our father, and all his command, and all he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor fields, nor seed. But we have lived in tents and have obeyed and doing according to all Jonadab, father, commanded us. And it happened when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of Chaldeans and for the fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwelt at Jerusalem. So I went to this, the father took me to this story because they were being offered wine, and their fathers told them not to drink wine, gave them a number of different things not to do. And they didn't do them. They didn't dwell in houses and things of that nature. They dwelt in tents. So they was like nomads. It was nomads. And then when you go back, they were actually descendants of Jethro. And we know Jethro was a Midianite, which is actually one of the sons of Abraham. So that's one story of children listening to their parents from, generations. Next story we're going to deal with in regards to children paying attention to what their father's teaching them and telling them. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 27. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. And it reads, then drew near the daughter Zephaniah, Zoholophad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Milah, Noah, Haglah, Malkah, Tirzah. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregations at the door of the tent of meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against Yahweh and the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from among his family, because he had no sons? Give to us a possession amongst the brothers of our fathers. Moses brought their cause before Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of the Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of their inheritance of their father's brothers, and you shall cause the inheritance of their father to pass, and you should cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. So I went to this, the father took me to this story. Why? Because their father taught them Torah and taught them things of righteousness. And because they didn't have any brothers, they petitioned Moshe in regards to their father being wiped out from amongst the nation of Israel. And so from them posing this question to Moses, the law of inheritance was instituted. So we have to understand that when we teach our children things, they may be confronted with situations where they can bring to the forefront something that was taught to them that will benefit the whole. Because when we look at this particular story, it benefited the whole of Israel. Because this situation was not the first time. I mean, we're going to say this was the first time this happened, but it alleviated when this situation came up again in regards to inheritance. This is another, like I said, another story or another example in the scriptures where a father was teaching their children and they stood up for what was being taught. So then these last two examples are dealing with kings. And this is, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. And it reads, "Now in the 18th year of the king of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, began Abijam to reign over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with Yahweh, his El, as the heart of David, his father. Nonetheless, for David's sake, did Yahweh, his El, give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of Yahweh and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life." So this is a story where you had a king and his son was wicked, and the son continued to be wicked. So he followed after his father's footsteps and was wicked. But Yahweh showed favor to him, to that particular group because of their father's father, which was David, and because of the light that David shined on Israel at that time. So from here, we're going to go to 2 Kings, chapter 18, 1 through 6. And it reads, "Now it happened in the third year, Hoshea, son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Yehuda, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Avi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah and broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For to those days the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Nahashtan. And he trusted in Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, so that after him was none like was none like him among all the kings of Yehuda, nor among them that were before him. For he joined with Yahweh. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh commanded Moses. So this is a, but then with this particular king, his father was Ahaz, and Ahaz didn't do good. He didn't do good in the sight of the Most High. So with this particular king, he did the opposite of his father. He followed after his grandfather, David, you know. So we have two examples that we just read in regards to the kings, where we have an example where one follows after the footsteps and do right. And then we have one who doesn't follow after the footsteps and does right. So sometimes, you know, in learning and when we teach our children, if we teach our children bad things, they have the choice to do the right thing. You know, because I came up in an era where, you know, parents would say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, so this is like an example of that, where the child didn't do as their parent did. They did completely opposite. And because of that, favor was shown to that particular person or this particular king. So when we're teaching our children, teaching them how to do right and how to do wrong. But the choice is, which one are you teaching your children? Are you giving them good examples that they can follow? Or are you giving them bad examples in which they're not going to follow? But it's up to the child on whether or not they want to follow you or not follow you. But at the end, you should be teaching them to follow Yah and follow the word wherever it shall go. Because the word will lead and guide you throughout its pages to bring you in right relations with the Father through the Son, Yahushua. So family, I hope you got something from this lesson that the Father put on my heart, or from these scriptures that he led me to. May they open your hearts to the wonders of Yah's word. May they guide your hand and guide your feet to do better in Yah's word. But ultimately, may they bring you into a better relationship with your children, so that you and your children can both walk with Yah in his truth and in his ways. Just as Yah wants us to walk in his ways and be obedient to him, we too also want our children to be obedient to us. So we want our children to trust in us and to believe that we will not lead them astray. Just as Yah leads and guides us in righteousness and goodness, and we believe and understand that he is not leading us astray, but preparing us and teaching us how to recognize those things that are outside of him. Whereas there's a scripture that say, he does not make us ignorant of Hasatan's devices. And that's the same thing that we should be doing for our children. Not have them ignorant pitfalls that life throws at them. So family, we're going to have a closing prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter into yet another Sabbath day, another day in which you said you will meet with us. May we come into this day with open arms and open minds to receive the wonders that you have bestowed for each and every one of us. May we continue to look to Yahushua as that hope, as that light that's leading us closer to you, O Yah. Father, we ask of thee to continue to share your loving kindness with our friends and family, those who are in need of your assistance, and the ways in which they need your assistance. We ask of thee, O Father, to bring them closer to you. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways, strengthen us in your truth. Father, we just thank you for your love and kindness that you show to each and every one of us that call upon the name of thy Son, Yahushua. And we ask of thee, O Father, to continue to help those that are outside of your fold to come closer to your fold, giving us the wisdom that we need to help them to know who you are, O Yah. We thank thee once again for this Sabbath day, another day to rehearse about dwelling with you in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, and all the things that he has done for us individually and collectively. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we give honor and praise to you, O Yah, for me. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies Sabbath. Blessed are you, doors his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber and enjoy this Sabbath day with Yah. Amen.
Darkness, you will be my light, and even when I'm home.
crow.